Hands to God as we take that song together. My hope is built on nothing else than Jesus' blood and righteousness. I dare not trust the sweetest God only on Jesus' name. On Christ the Lord, on the rock, I stand on the ground, his sinking sand. All the ground, his sinking sand. When all around my soul gives way, he there is all my hope and stay. In every end coming again, I come home within the way. On Christ the Lord, on the road I stand. His covenant and his blood supports me in the heavenly floor. When all around my soul gives way, it is Father, we thank you this morning. We thank you that you are the rock on which we stand. We thank you, Lord, that you are the anchor that holds our lives within the veil. We thank you that your oath, your covenant, and your blood, they sufficiently support us in the overwhelming flood. And so this morning, as we turn to you, please, Lord, turn to us. Open your heart to us as we turn to the Word of God. We ask that your Word will come to us with simplicity. It will come to us with clarity. And it will come to us with faith. Such that, Lord, it will mix with faith in our hearts, and that each one of us will have a fresh encounter with the man of Calvary. We ask, Lord, that as we are looking at rooted in Christ, our lives will become immovable. We'll be able to stand the test of time, and we shall become like that oak that you say you will plant. And men will look at it and say, these are the trees of righteousness. Thank you for hearing us. In Jesus Christ's name, we have prayed. Amen. Now you can be seated. The Lord bless you. I'd like to thank the Lord for another opportunity for us to gather as a Joshua generation. I also want to appreciate our Father in God, the Primate of the Church of Nigeria, who has been facilitating this, along with all the men of the clergy and their wives. And this privilege he has again given to me to come and be part of this. I thank God, and I really want to praise the Lord. And for our hosts and the hosting bishops around here, I'd like to again thank you for playing host for this meeting. The Lord will bless and enlarge your hands in the name of Jesus Christ. Our theme for this year's Joshua generation, as you know, rooted in Christ. And our thematic passage had been taken from Colossians chapter 2, verse 6 and verse 7. That is the passage that we are going to be studying. Thank God that you already have two sessions of Bible studies, which is also focusing on how to be rooted in Christ and how to live and walk it out. This morning, as the first session of this exposition, I will first of all again want us to familiarize ourselves with the context of this passage and then analyze however we can make it this morning what are the critical issues that we need to be looking at in getting rooted in Christ Jesus. But you will notice that the context of the book of Colossians, chapter 2, verse 6 and 7, that we want to study, we cannot just take those two verses out of the context in which it has been placed. So, the entire Colossians chapter 1, chapter 2, chapter 3 will have been the immediate context of this passage that we need to study together. And there are overwhelming themes that is recurring as you go through this particular session of the scriptures. I know a few times ago we were also in this passage looking at the sufficiency of Christ, the one whom we believe. So you will take your Bibles with me this morning, and I will want you to join me as we now read Colossians chapter 2. I would like you to please pick it for me. No, I think we should read from chapter 1. From chapter 1, we cannot go far, far back. I would have loved you to go back over and over again, but I will want you to come with me. I will read from chapter 1. If you have your Bibles, let's go quickly to Colossians chapter 1. And I would like you to come with me. We'll read from verse 24 so that we can from there jump to chapter 2. So I'll read. Who now rejoice in my sufferings for you, and to fill up that which is behind of the afflictions of Christ in my flesh for his body's sake, which is the church, whereof I am made a minister according to the dispensation of God, which is given to me for you to fulfill the word of God, even the mystery which has been hid from ages and from generations, but now is made manifest to his saints, to whom God will make known what is the riches of the glory of this mystery among the Gentiles, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory, whom we preach, warning every man and teaching every man in all wisdom, that we may present every man perfect in Christ Jesus. Whereunto I also labor, striving according to his working, which worketh in me mightily. For I would, I'm now in chapter 2, verse 1. For I would that you knew what great conflict I have for you and for them at Laodicea, and for as many as have not seen my face in the flesh, that their hearts might be comforted, being knit together in love, and unto all riches of the full assurance of understanding, to the acknowledgement of the mystery of God and of the Father and of Christ, in whom are hid all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. And this I say, lest any man should beguile you with enticing words. For though I be absent in the flesh, yet am I with you in the spirit, joying and beholding your order and the steadfastness of your faith in Christ. As you have therefore received Christ Jesus the Lord, that's verse 6, so walk ye in him, rooted and built up in him, established in the faith, as you have been taught, abounding therein with thanksgiving. Verse 8. Beware lest any man spoil you through philosophy and vain deceit, after the tradition of men, after the rudiments of the world, and not after Christ. For in him dwells all the fullness of the Godhead bodily, and you are complete in him, which is the head of all principality and power. Let's stop there. It would have been wonderful just to read the whole of the chapter. It will do you no harm if you read it after this time. But for the sake of our time and what we need to do, that's why we are stopping. But the context of this passage we are studying is this elaborate. And I want you to please settle down with it, as the Lord will help us, in the name of Jesus Christ. Now, the first issue that is bringing this particular appeal, this instruction that Brother Paul was bringing to the church at Colossae, and this same epistle, he asked them to go and read it also with the church in Laodicea. And, you know, as I was going through the scripture, and at the end of it, he said, I want you to make sure that the church at Laodicea also read this epistle. It just dawned on me that there is no church anywhere on earth that should not study this epistle. The message of this book of Colossians is necessary, is actually compulsory, and it's a prerequisite for any man, any woman who wants to make it to heaven. So, recommending Colossians as a book to study is a very critical matter. Even after, by God's grace, we have finished Joshua Generation, I will still recommend that one book that you must not miss to study is the book of Colossians, because it raises so many, many fundamental issues that helps you as a child of God, not only to start well, to run well, to do well, and to end well. These instructions will be critical for you and for me. And I'm not able to tell you how many years I have been interacting with these passages, because they form an anchor even for my own personal walk with God. When we go ahead and see why you are going to be rooted in Christ, you will see that this is critical for every one of us as God's people. Praise the Lord. Now, the first appeal that I was drawn onto, which will be the beginning of this exposition this morning, I was looking at the passion, the cry in the heart of God that is being expressed through the servant of God, Brother Paul. There was a passion. There was something that God himself is longing that each one of us, particularly those of us that have come to Christ in whichever way, that we should take note and not miss out upon. That passion, you see it all over the place, and I thought it is very important for me to start by looking at that passion. Brother Paul said at the beginning of the section I read, in verse 24 of chapter 1, he said, "This is the reason why when God captured me, he made me a minister." If there's any reason why I am on the pulpit, if there's any reason why God has called me, there's any reason why I am ordained to be a minister of the word of God, Paul said, it is for this reason that God had made me a minister according to the dispensation of grace that God has given to me for you. As if God is saying, there's something God does not want you to miss as a child of God. There's something that must not elude you as a child of God. There's something that must not slip out of your hands if you are a serious man who wants to experience all that God has kept in store for your life. And for this reason, God goes all the way to appoint men, call them aside, ordain them, anoint them, that they may bring this clearly, without any confusion, to your understanding. It was so serious that Paul said, I don't have any other reason to be in the ministry apart from this. I have no other reason, no other call, nothing else that I'm concerned about except this matter of your being rooted in Christ Jesus. If Paul was called to attend this meeting today, if he was the one to speak, he will have nothing else to say than to return to this epistle again. When he went to the Corinthian church, he said to the Corinthians, I don't care about anything. I determined to know nothing among you except Christ and him crucified. He was so focused because he knew that that's where the treasure is. And that's where the focus, the fulcrum, the center of gravity of Christian life, of Christian expression, of Christian profession, and of Christian ministry, that's where it lies. And if we should miss that, and it's not our focus, brothers and sisters, we will only be running around in circles, and we will not arrive anywhere. Once the church fails to centralize this matter, once our young people are not confronted with this matter that is principal in becoming anything in the hand of God, then we decided to joke and to play with their destinies and to destroy them eventually. I thank God for our primate and all the leaders that year in, year out, have understood that if we don't invest in the life of the youth, then we have determined to perish the church. And they have also been careful to know and understand that if the people, the young people we are looking at, if we did not give them substance, if we not give them that which we hold them for years, if we just play around and we just say things that are peripheral, it means we don't know what we are doing. And so as I again look at our theme for this year again, I could not but salute the wisdom of God as expressed by our leaders, our fathers in God, that these men know where we are going. They know what we should do. They know what is necessary. They know what is important. And if you would like to thank God for our primate, our father in God, our archbishops, and all the bishops, will you jam your hand together and praise the Lord? Praise the Lord for fathers that know where we are going. Praise God for fathers that understand what should be the crucial matter. Hallelujah. Baba, thank you very much. The Lord will continue to give you great wisdom to keep leading us. Hallelujah. Now, what is that substance that is the basis of what we need to be discussing? I would like you to please read that again in Colossians chapter 1, verse 27. And then I'll go on. Say, to whom God will make known what is the riches of the glory of this mystery among the Gentiles, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. Let me say quickly that the essence of Christian life is not an activity, it's not first and foremost a big organization. It is that Christ, the living Christ, is in you. And that is the only hope for the glory we are expecting. If it is not Christ in you, then we are hopeless. If it is not Christ living in you, Christ walking in you, Christ moving in you, Christ reigning in you, then there is no hope for any glory. So Paul noted this, that this is the mystery for which God has raised him. And he said, this is what I'm laboring on. Let me ask for us to read that passage from the Amplified Version. And then, if somebody will help me flash as it is presented in Message Version, then I will be off to go to where I'm going this morning. Now, verse 26, 27. In the Amplified Bible, it says, the mystery of which was hidden for ages and generations from angels and men, but is now revealed to his holy people, the saints, to whom God was pleased to make known how great for the Gentiles are the riches of the glory of this mystery, which is Christ within you, Christ in your midst, the hope of realizing the glory. Him we preach and proclaim, warning and admonishing everyone and instructing everyone in all wisdom, in all comprehensive insight into the ways and purposes of God, that we may present every person mature, full grown, fully initiated, complete, perfect in Christ Jesus. Hallelujah. For this I labor. I labor unto weariness, striving with all the superhuman energy which is so mightily enkindles and works within me. Can I beg to see if we can read that from Message? Is there someone who has Message to read for me? Okay. Professor Peak, will you please assist me with Message? You read from verse 26 to 29. Thank you.
This mystery has been kept in the dark for a long time.
Okay.
But now it's out in the open. God wanted everyone, not just Jews, to know this rich and glorious secret inside and out.
Wait, sir. God wanted every man to know about this secret mystery inside and out. God wants you to know this matter thoroughly. And regardless whether you are Jew or anything else, go on reading, brother.
Regardless of their background, regardless of their religious standing, the mystery in a nutshell is just this.
Yes.
Christ is in you.
Christ is in you.
So therefore you can look forward to sharing in God's glory.
That is the only basis for us to say we have a hope of sharing in the glory God is talking about. Yes, sir.
Is that simple?
It is not complicated.
That is the substance of our message. We preach Christ, warning people not to add to the message.
All right.
We teach in a spirit of profound common sense,
mm-hmm,
so that we can bring each person to maturity.
Please, Brother Peak, can you stop at that point first? He said, the mystery in a nutshell is this. Christ is in you. So therefore, you can look forward to sharing in God's glory. It is that simple. It is not complicated. If Christ is not in you, friend, you have nothing to expect. If Christ is not in you, whosoever you are, there is nothing for you in the future. There is no glory for you. There is no hope for you if it is not Christ in you. And so this morning, that is the context of what this exposition that we are going to be dealing with. Now, my brother, he said, it is that simple. That is the substance of the message we preach. That's the substance of our message. So, start again. We preach Christ. Is that okay?
Yes, sir.
We preach Christ. Yes, sir. Go ahead.
We preach Christ,
uh-huh,
warning people not to add to the message.
Uh-huh.
We teach in a spirit of profound common sense,
mm-hmm,
so that we can bring each person to maturity.
And we don't want to be teaching and preaching high-sounding nonsense. We don't need to express this important matter shrouded in big vocabularies. We don't want to daze you with empty, oh my God. Oh, we don't want to come and say something G, something Zim, something Zim, something Zim, and I will say, oh, hey, shouting for nothing. Shouting for what you don't understand. We want to make it simple. That even if you are not so educated, you will go out of this conference knowing the substance of the message. And if you are too educated, God will dismantle your complication and bring you to simplicity so that you know what is the substance. You know, sometimes I've listened to very big men, highly intellectual, when he has talk for 1 hour. The question still remains, what is the substance of what he has said? Nobody knows. Because he himself is only confused about the paraphernalia of big speaking. He does not know the substance. The substance of our message is simple. Christ and him crucified. Hallelujah. If Christ is not in you, let me tell somebody by your side, say, if Christ is not in you, there is nothing in you. You may have very many degrees, but those degrees, if it is not with Christ inside of you, you are in a degree of confusion. If it is not Christ in you, you are only floating with no substance. You are a flute that has no anchor. And very soon, such persons will be swept away because there's nothing there. Sir, don't stop. We preach Christ. Start again, sir.
We preach Christ.
Yes, sir.
Warning people not to add to the message.
Don't add to this message. It is sufficient. You know, many years ago when I started to want to walk with God, and it became clear to me that there is not two messages God has given me to preach apart from Christ. The first problem I had, I said, God, will I not be monotonous? Will people not say Bragbile doesn't know anything else? Will they not say I'm parochial? Will anybody want to listen to me say only one thing again and again? And the Lord told me, can I ever be outdated? I say, no, sir. Can you ever exhaustively speak about me and there be nothing about me to say again? I say, That is why, by the grace of God, in all these many years, there are professors here today that it was when they were students, 100 level university student, that I began to preach and teach the word of God to them. And if you call any of them up and say all these 40 something years that you made with Agbile, has he changed? They will tell you no. Has he become outdated? They will say, no. Has it become monotonous in your ears? They say, no. It is because this Jesus is new every day. I stand because all this is the context of where I'm going in this exposition. If you don't understand where we are coming from, you may not know where we are going. That's why you see me doing this. Once I have established this now, going on to talk about you being rooted in Christ becomes very easy for me. Are you hearing me? Are you hearing me, brothers? Now, look at the Bible. So that we can bring each person to maturity. How many of you want to be mature? Please, let me see your hand up. You are praying, Lord, I want to be mature. I don't want to be a baby tossed to and fro. I want to be a man of God. I want to be a man who can shake the kingdom of darkness. Wave your hand to me. Let me see. Aha, hallelujah. Let me tell you. How do we get there? What will be that maturity? What would that be? The maturity that will raise you up to make you formidable, an immovable man dealing with the kingdom of darkness and establishing the will of God everywhere in the coming days. What is that maturity? What is it that is that maturity? Brother Pick, can you now read?
To be mature is to be busy.
To be mature is to be what? Now, you see, that's the confusion. People think they are matured when they become complicated. Many people think that maturity means complication. People think that when you are very matured, then you become a masquerade. They think that when you are matured, you'll be talking in between your teeth. And then people only will see your teeth moving somewhere. And they say, what is that? They say, it's matured. Say, mature man, mature. You have a misunderstanding of maturity. Even when I meet preachers who think they have now matured, I listen to somebody say, yes, when I was a baby, we talk about Christ. But now that I'm matured, there are greater things to discuss. There are bigger things that we are dealing with now. I said, like what? Like what? He said, for example, we dig into the heavenlies and we discuss how many angels are standing at attention. And how many demons are inside hellfire? You see? Can you imagine that kind of emptiness? So I normally ask them questions. I say, so if you know how many demons are in hell, how does that affect you? Say, they just want to know. I say, for what? If you were to know how many angels are standing at attention in front of the Shekinah glory, how does that change your life? Maturity, we are going to see it now, is not about being becoming complex. It's not about becoming sophisticated. Correct maturity is to be what? Basic. When you become matured, you will become how? Basic. And what is that to be basic, brother?
Christ.
Christ?
No more, no less.
Can I, all of you here, shout that for me? Christ.
Christ.
No more.
No more.
No less.
No less.
Again, Christ. Christ. No more.
No more.
No less.
No less.
This is the substance. This is the focus. And this is the fulcrum of the purpose for which God is raising you and raising me. He said, that's what I am working so hard day after day. Yes, sir.
That's what I'm working so hard day after day.
Yes.
Year after year.
Yes.
Doing my best with the energy God so generously gives me.
That's what I am working at day after day, year after year, with all the energy that God has so wonderfully and wondrously and lavishly, generously gives me. So when Joshua generation this year begins to talk about being rooted in Christ, you can understand why we are doing that. So I will now want you to follow me. I'm now going out chapter 2. I told you that all I'm doing this morning is just to set the context and to give a general preamble and to set in order the purpose of this exposition itself. To be able to engage with why, what is the passion behind these instructions that God is asking us to focus upon. Now, apart from that which we have said, there is the second passion in the heart of God that is expressed also in this passage. The passion for you. God's passion for you as an individual. The cry in the heart of God. And you see it, he said, I would that you knew what great conflict I have for you and for them at Laodicea and for as many as have not seen my face in the flesh. Does that include you? Eh? Oh my God. Does that include you? How do you know that included you? Those of us that have not seen Paul's face in the flesh. Are you in that class? Or is there any one of you that you are so old that when Paul was ministering, you saw him? You say, I saw Paul. Is there anybody like that here? Uh-huh. But where is our class? Even to those who have not done what? See my face in the flesh. Is there a space for people like us? It is. Because I saw Jesus when he was praying. In John 17. You remember? He said, I prayed not only for these ones, even for those who will hereafter believe as they hear the word. Does that include me? That's why I am confident to know that this passion is for me. It's for you. When people are reading their Bible, they say, well, they are talking to some people in Colossae. No, sir. Whom are they talking to? They are talking to me here. And what are they saying? Even for those, as many as have not seen my face in the flesh, that their hearts might be comforted, be knit together in love, and unto all riches of the full assurance of understanding to the acknowledgement of the mystery of God and of the Father and of Christ. Permit me to wait a bit in that verse 1 and 2 because I'm looking at the passion in God's heart for you. If God does not have passion for you, he will not bring you here. There's something God is longing to do for you, to launch you into, to establish you into. That's why he's bringing you here. Let me quickly note it again. He said, my great conflict, which I have for you and for them at Laodicea, and for as many as have not seen my face in the flesh. What is this passion? What is this conflict? What is this desire of God? That your heart might be comforted. Do you know that God is longing for your comfort? God wants your heart to be what? To be comforted. God wants your heart to be knit together in love and unto all riches of the full assurance of understanding to the acknowledgement of the mystery of God. You know, there's a big word that is jumping at me at that passage, and I would like to dispense it very quickly, because as me and you are going on in this exposition, we don't want any big word to disturb us so that we can go on going to where we are going. It said, unto all riches of the full assurance of understanding to the acknowledgement of the mystery of God, of the Father and of Christ. What does that imply? There is the riches that comes when God begins to give you full assurance. When you are not shaking, when you are not in between opinion, the full assurance of understanding to the acknowledgement of the mystery of God. Paul says that if God will give you understanding, if God will give you the full assurance that comes out of understanding, assurance that comes to you not because somebody is shouting it, assurance that is coming to your life because of what? Understanding. Excuse me. So what is understanding? What is understanding? I defined understanding the other time by dividing the word into two. What are the two words that form understanding? Understanding. Understanding. So if we put the word under your standing, what is understanding, please? What is understanding? Under your standing. Is it complicated? Eh? If you say, I have understanding, I have understanding. Do you know what you are saying? I have under to my standing. Anybody that does not have under to his standing, what will happen? He will sink. If there's no under, Look at here now, as I'm doing like this. Why am I able to stand and do like this? Because there's something under. Am I right? If they did not reinforce this under, can I stand here? I will be afraid. Because I do like, don't fall. I will fall because there's no under to my standing. You see, so the Bible is talking that God wants you to have an under to your standing. You need a solid under to your standing. So that anywhere you stand, you are standing with a solid under. God does not want you to suddenly disappear. They say, where is that man that is shouting? They say, he has gone, he has fallen. They say, why? There is no under to his standing. People ask, how can I continue for 10 years, for 20 years, for 30 years, for 40 years? I say, check your under. You can never stand higher than your under. Are you hearing me? No one can stand stronger than the under that is under that standing. So what is the passion of God? God's passion is that in the course of this time, God will give under to your standing. God will give a strong under to your standing. But since you don't, people are just lazy. They don't want to say, what is your under to your standing? What is the under to your standing? They just say, what's your understanding? What's your understanding? What's your understanding? What do you understand by that? What do you understand by that? They make the thing to look vague. If I were to ask you, when you have talk, and I'm going to ask a question, sister, what is the under to your standing? What is the basis of your standing? How long will this under carry your stand? How many years will it take for the under to your stand shake away? When I see a sister who is singing for us, and I'm excited, this sister is going to sing till we get to heaven. But when we come to marriage, she collapsed into the hand of an unbeliever. What is the problem? There is no under to her standing. When there is no under to your standing is temporary. When the under to your standing is shaking, your stand tomorrow will shake away. And we are not preparing you to disappear like a smoke. We are waiting to see God use you to shake nations. You will be the shaker of nations. But for you to be able to shake the nation, what must happen? There must be an under to where? To your standing. So this exposition is dealing with what will give you under to your standing. Under to your standing. So that scripture says, all the riches that comes from the full assurance of understanding that leads you to the acknowledgement and understanding the revelation of the mystery of God and of the Father and of Christ Jesus, in whom are hidden all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. I'm not going to deal with that now. I don't want to stop there. I want to go on. But don't forget, I'm coming back there. Because when we have settled and we started to dig our roots in Christ Jesus, then you will be seeing what is essential about it. Then you will know that there is nothing you will ever need anywhere in life. Nothing. Whether in anything at all that is not already packaged and hid in Christ Jesus. He said, in whom are hid all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. And I'm saying this, lest any man should beguile you with enticing words. I'm saying this so that nobody will come and confuse you with high-sounding emptiness. Enticing words that has nothing. But such people can be swayed because there is no under to their standing. They say somebody has just done something and everybody is going there. And they have been swept. Oh, they were swept. They are swept. I said, they are swept. Like how? They say they have been swept off ground. I said, oh, all right. They can be swept. Who can be swept? Who can be swept, please? Those who have no under. If you are just on the surface like this, they can bring broom. And they pack you off. Because there's no under. But come and sweep something that is anchored on ground. Can you sweep it? Even if you shake it, you are the one who will shake. Because there's an under to that man standing. Please tell somebody, God will give you under to your standing. You will be unsweepable. You'll be unsweepable. Nobody can sweep you off because your under will sustain your standing. In the name of Jesus. Amen. So, that leads now to where we are going. Say, even though I be absent in the flesh, yet I'm with you in the spirit, joining and beholding your order and the steadfastness of your faith in Christ. You wonder why that verse 5 is part of this message. Can I tell you why? Can I tell you why? You want to know why? There are many people who stand when there are a crowd. There are people that appear to be doing well in the midst of a crowd. But Satan is not foolish to come and be fighting you when there is a crowd. You know that if Satan comes here now, why we are all here? And they come. How many people will shout him down? How many? Look at thousands and say, get out! We bind you! We bind you! We bind you! We bind you in the name of Jesus! And the senior principality will call that demon and say, but why did you go there? You are not strategic. How do you want to do that when everybody is there? Was Judas Iscariot able to deny Jesus in the midst of everybody? When did he do it? In the absence of the multitude. Do you know that your temptation, the one that is likely to pull you off, is always where? In the absence of multitude. When nobody is there. When you are alone. When everybody has gone. Then Satan will come. Say, excuse me. Come now. So, the way you are shouting. Say, God is good, God is good. Explain to me. Don't talk about what God has done for us. You yourself. Where is the good God that you are talking about? When you failed the exam the other time, Where is that good God you are talking about? We have been telling you to be reasonable. You are shouting, shouting. Where are your brothers? They have all gone. You are not reasonable. And then you begin to shake him like this, shake him like this, shake him like this. And because he has no personal honor to his own standing, they can push him. Why are we doing this exposition? It is so that not only in our presence. Did you see verse 5? Not when we are present with you. Even in our absence. That we may see you standing. We may see you being steadfast. We may see your faith in Christ. And your orderliness. The fact that you are not scattered. You are not confused. You are still standing. Even if nobody is there, you are able to still stand. And Satan says, that boy, we even went to his house. We even tried him. But there's something under him that we could not shake. Kai, we don't know where he got his own under. Even the man that was shouting the other day, we got him. Put him on his back. And he's nothing now. Oh, look at this young boy. Where did he get his under? Where did he get his understanding? He is so unmovable. Unshakable. I fear him more. Satan will give a testimony about you tomorrow. Satan will go back to his caucus and say, there are some people. They have been going for this Joshua generation and it looked as if they are catching something that we don't want them to know. I tried to check some of them, but they are becoming formidable. And if they continue like this, our kingdom will suffer damage. Satan is lamenting already. But the only thing that makes him to lament is that in our absence, in the absence of the multitude, you have an under to your standing. When nobody is playing music, there's a music in your soul that comes out of understanding. Hallelujah. Are you with me? So, do you now think we are ready for our exposition? Eh? I don't know. Do you think we should now go now to study what we came for? You have seen the rationale for this exposition? That by the grace of God, even when we are dispersed and you are alone, and you are alone in your room, in your university, in your business, you say, Satan, there's an under to my standing. There are some people that appear to be standing. But they are not standing on their own root. They are standing on another person. If you know a plant whose stand is not to the soil, is standing on the branch of another tree, what is the name of that plant? It's a parasite. So what is the definition of parasite? Parasite is any plant that has no personal under to his own standing. He stands on the stand. Did you hear me? He stands on the stand of another person. So when the devil wants to cut him, he says, cut the stand on which he stands. Terrible. So, permit me this morning now to now start to now introduce where we are going. The brothers are saying, so you mean we are just starting? Amen, amen. It's okay, no problem. As you have therefore received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk ye in him, rooted and built up in him and established in the faith as you have been taught, abounding therein with thanksgiving. As you have therefore received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk ye in him, rooted and built up in him, and established in the faith. So you will see critical words that will be coming to us in verse 7, which is where our study is going to lie. But before we can get to that verse 7, there's another curious word that has been introduced in verse 6. You know, when we are doing exposition, we take scriptures and follow it little by little until we see what it is. Abi? Now, look at that verse 6. You will notice that there's a word that they put in there. You know, they could have said, as you have received Jesus Christ. And it will look complete. But they have added one important word. What is that word? Therefore, as you have therefore. So again, we have to deal with the word therefore before we can go ahead. As you have therefore. So what's the meaning of therefore? Again, therefore is two words joined together. There and before. Abi? What is there before? And we can't be talking if there is nothing there before. Are we together? So, if anybody comes and starts a statement and say, therefore, is that a good sentence? You say, therefore, let us go. Is that the beginning of a sentence? You can't say that. The question they ask is, say, what is there before? So now, when I come to a class as a teacher, and what I thought was there before, for me to start this new lesson, when I come to the class and I said, let's check what we have known before, and I discover my students don't have the therefore, can I continue? If I should continue, I will be building on nothing. Am I right? Okay. So this morning, this is where we can only start. He said, as you have therefore received Jesus Christ as your Lord, we now want to check. Has that therefore, has it taken place? If this has not been there before, we cannot go on talking about being rooted the correct beginning of coming to verse 7 is that the therefore of verse 6 is clear. As you have therefore received Christ Jesus as Lord. That's why we cannot go on. Because all the words they use, they are very critical words. As. When you use the word as, what's the meaning of as? What's the meaning of as? Those of you that did a little English, when they say as, yes, sir? Eh? It cannot be when. It cannot be when. When you use the word as, like, aha, you are getting the right word now. Like, as, which means, if I'm going to say as, it means there is someone that I can compare with. Abi? As. So, if we don't have someone to compare that with, we can't use the word as. Because there's no base to use the word as. Therefore, so, did you see these conjunctions? They are very terrible conjunctions. As, therefore, so. These are critical words. So the first question is, as how? Did you see that now? You have got it now. As how? So that brings us to, how did you receive Jesus Christ? As how did you receive Jesus Christ? How? How did you receive Jesus Christ? How? Let us now look at how. Because he's used the word as. And we could have said, leave that until we come again. But we cannot, because he said, therefore, which means this must be there before we can go on. Hey, am I communicating? So, our exposition has to stop now to go and check as how. As how? How have you received Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior? How have you received him? So that we can say, as you have received. How have you received him? There are a few passages that we can now go quickly and deal with, to help us deal with when a person has received Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. How do we know it? What is the evidence that this man has received the Lord Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior? Will you go with me to the book of Matthew chapter 1, which I think is the first passage you know. You remember it quickly. Matthew 1 and verse 21. All we are dealing with first is as how. Matthew chapter 1 and verse 21. What did he say? And you shall call his name Jesus. For what will he do? He shall save his people from what? From their sins. So which means, if any man has received Jesus Christ, what has he received? The one that will save him from what? From sin. So if anybody say, look, I have received Jesus, I have received Jesus, we say, as how? How did you receive Jesus and you are still living in sin? How can you receive he who saves men from their sin? And you say, I have received him, I have received him, I have received him. And the first thing he came to do, he has not done it in your life. I'm a child of God. I'm a child of God. I'm a child of God. How? As how? Now, follow me yet more. In John chapter 1, you know, we read Matthew 1, we are going to John chapter 1 and hear what he says. John 1 and in verse 12. But as many as received him, what did he do? He gave them power to become the sons or the children of God, even to them that believe on his name, which were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. Are you seeing the word as we are going on now? Eh? All right. Now, let's go quickly. Let's go quickly, because I think we should be moving very fast. And in John chapter 8, some people, when Jesus Christ had done great miracles, and the Bible said in verse 30, many believed on him. Then said Jesus to those Jews who believe on him, if you continue in my word, then are you my disciples indeed? And you shall know the truth, and the truth shall do what? Make you free. Then the people said, We be Abraham's seed. We were never in bondage to any man. How sayest thou, you shall be made free? Jesus answered them, verily, verily, I say unto you, whosoever, are you with me? Whosoever is committing sin is what? Is the servant of sin. I think other versions say, is the slave of sin. And the servant abides not in the house forever, but the son abides forever. If the son therefore shall make you free, what will happen? You shall be freed indeed. When you say, we have received Christ, they say, as how? If you have received Jesus, he shall make you free, and you shall be free indeed. And the people are saying, how can you say we shall be free? We have never been in bondage. That made Jesus to explain, say, whosoever is committing sin is a servant, is a slave of sin, is not free. When you receive Christ, he sets you free. Sets you free from the slavery of sin, from addiction, from anything that will not let you be free. As you have received Jesus, what we declare when they say, and as you have therefore received Christ Jesus, it means then that we can say that you are free from the power of sin. We can say you are free from addiction. We can say you are free. You are no longer under the bondage of sin, of Satan, and of his activity. And these are the questions that we cannot go on without answering, particularly this morning. Now, when the people went on arguing, because they say, no, we were born inside church. Abraham is our father. In fact, Abraham, we are the Abraham seed. And we have never been bonded to anybody. We were born inside church. Our father carried us to church. You don't know my name? My name is Michael. It's just that they have not added St. Michael, but I'm Michael. So just know that whether you like it or not, I am inside. And the word of God is saying, are you committing sin? Name or no name? Whosoever is committing sin is a slave of sin. And if it is that servants will also be in the house forever, we not are worried. But servants don't stay in the house forever. A time is coming when all the slaves of sin, all the servants of iniquity, shall be ordered out. They shall be sent to the outer darkness. Only the Son, only those that have been redeemed, they are the ones that abides in the house forever. If the Son, therefore, shall make you free, what will happen? You shall be free indeed. So let's ask one question. As how have you received Christ? As how? And if that as how has not been settled, how can we put therefore on top of it? How can we say therefore when there is nothing there before? How can we be building and say, so therefore, so, these are all complicated things. So you permit me to do something very quick this morning so that our next level of exposition, we can all be able to say, therefore, because of what has happened, because of the way God has helped us, because of where I am now standing, I can go on with this. One more thing before we stop. If you go with me away from John chapter 8, which you can read when you get home on your own, and you now come with me to 1 John. In 1 John, all of you please come to 1 John with me. And in 1 John, we would like to have read from chapter 1, but there's no time. We would have loved to walk in verse chapter 2 and read from verse 1 to verse 6, but I don't have the time. But if you join me and we go to chapter 3, to summarize all that we'll have been discussing, then we might save a bit of time and go from here. Now, I want you to go quickly from verse 4. 1 John chapter 3, from verse 4, verse 5, verse 6, verse 7, verse 8, until we get to verse 10. These are scriptures we need to read because we are answering a question as how. And as you have therefore received Jesus Christ the Lord as how. And when was it there before? So, can we start from verse 4? Brother Peak, are you still able to read for me? From verse 4. And all of us should please turn to that 1 John 3 from verse 4. Yes, sir. Any version you have there, but you can read it from either New King James or Old King James, anyone you have, quickly.
And every man that hath this,
go to
whoever committed sin,
yes, sir,
transgresseth also the law. For sin is the transgression of the law.
Mm-hmm.
And you know that he was manifested to take away our sins.
And you know that Jesus Christ was what? Manifested to take away our sins. You know, in John chapter 1, he said, behold the Lamb of God that takes away the sins of the world. You know, Matthew 1 that we read said, you will call him Jesus because he's the one who shall save his people from their sins. And you know, in John chapter 8, he said, if the Son shall make you free, you shall be free indeed. Now, he now says, you know that Jesus was manifested to take away our sins. Uh-huh.
And in him is no sin.
Wait. Rapik, don't go away from there. Can you all check your Bible very well? That Jesus was what? Was manifested to do what? To take away our sins. We know that. We know that he came as the Lamb that take away the sin of the world. We know that his name is Jesus because he saves his people from their sin. And we know that if the Son shall set you free, you are free indeed. You no longer be a slave of sin. But we also now know that in him, in Jesus Christ, there is what? Talk to me. There is no sin. So let's wait. If anyone says, I have received Jesus Christ, and Christ is now in me, and he is committing sin, can we say the Jesus that came to live inside him, there is sin in him? Let's talk to me. Eh? He said there is what? And in him, there is what? There is no sin. Hey. All right. Bra Peak, just wait again. Maybe if you go to verse 6, maybe it will give us a little clarity. Yes?
Whosoever abideth in him sinneth not.
Whosoever is staying in Christ Jesus does not do what? Let's talk to me now. Eh? Why? We are following simple logic now. Why? If somebody is inside, why will he not continue to sin? Because there is no sin in Jesus to sin. Did you get what I'm saying now? See, we are sitting in this arena. Is there any beer here? Eh? There's no Gouda here. Am I communicating? Can anybody sit here in this meeting and just suddenly get drunk? Eh? If somebody says, sir, as I was just sitting in that meeting, and as Brother Gbile is teaching, I just don't know how I suddenly got drunk with Gulda. Will you believe him? What will you tell him? No. There's no Gulda where we are. It means you went somewhere else. Am I right? The Bible says, if anybody is in Christ, he will not sin. The reason is because in Jesus Christ, there is what? There is no sin to sin. Did you hear the word I'm adding now? There is no sin to sin. So whenever anybody who claims to be in Christ decide to sin, my Lord Bishop, what will he do? He will have to go out. He say, excuse me, my Lord Bishop, there is something I want to do that is not here. There is something I want to do that is not in you. Please, excuse me. Excuse me, sir. Just let me quickly go out. So anybody who wants to sin, what must he do? He has to go out. Why? Because in Jesus, there is no sin to sin. How did you receive Jesus Christ? That sin has not stopped in your life. How will you say, I am in Christ Jesus? And we are seeing you up and down in sin. Today you are up, tomorrow you are down. And they say, this man say, he has received Jesus Christ. What is the question we should ask him? As how? Did you hear the word now? As how? How did you receive Jesus Christ and you are still living in sin? As how? Because in Christ Jesus, there is no sin to sin. If we walk on presumption and say, well, as you have received Jesus Christ, therefore, we need to know as how. How did you say you received Jesus and you are still fornicating around? How? Let me ask somebody by yourself, say, as how did you receive Jesus and you are still this kind of man that you are? How did you receive Jesus that he did not save you from this behavior? As how? How did it happen? He said, we're in our own village. We receive Jesus, but we are still drunkards. As how? This question, they are not only asking it on earth, heaven is asking. Whenever you come in the midst of the brethren, you are waving your hand like, I say, one angel will look at you and say, is this one also? One of them, as he also received Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, as how? How? Yeah? And this one is singing in the choir. You know, we thought we received Christ when we were in choir in those days. And we carry charms. Yes, under our trousers. We go in. We're singing. So one day, a preacher came and was preaching. We were in the choir. We are backing him up. We are the one that back up the man of God. Then suddenly he turned and said, some of you are sitting in the choir. There is one day in your under your pint. I said, how did he know? How did he know? How did he know? How did he know? Hey, so you mean I'm not in Christ? Hey. It caused unsettlement. I didn't know what I had to do. I ran out. I went and caught that thing off. I said, the pastor saw it. I was hiding it. I didn't know he saw me. How did you receive Jesus Christ? And there are things you are hiding. As how did you say you received Jesus? And few months ago, you became pregnant for a strange man. As how? What happened? You went out? Because this thing we are seeing is not congruent with this Jesus. As many as have received him, he gave them power. Thank you, sir. He gave them power. Power. Power to overcome sin. Power to push down the devil. Power to say no. How did you receive Jesus? And you are powerless. How did you receive Jesus? And you are not stable. As how? So because this question, and it has to be answered so that we can put therefore. Hallelujah. It must be there before we can continue. Otherwise, we can't read therefore. So this morning, in the few minutes that we are going to now pray together, these are the questions that we have to deal with. If we don't deal with it, friend, there is no honor to your standing. And the devil is happy to have many people without honor to their standing. Because he knows that the power of sin that has not been broken in their lives has made them a slave. No matter how we sing here, he knows where to catch you. No matter how you shout here, he knows where to corner you out. No matter how beautifully dressed you are, Satan said, don't mind her. She's my slave. She's my slave. When I'm ready now, I will push her down. I will silence her. I will disgrace her. How many young brothers have fallen on their back? How many sisters that could have been wonderful for God had been silenced? There's no honor to their standing. The Christ that they should have received, we don't know how they say they received this Christ and did not set them free. Brother Peak, you have not finished, because unless you finish that passage, we will not be able to conclude. Read it. You are now in verse 6. Quickly, sir.
Whosoever abideth in him sinneth not.
Whosoever is staying in Christ Jesus sinneth not. Yes, sir?
Whosoever sinneth has not seen him,
Whosoever is committing sin has not seen him,
neither known him.
Look at the Bible. You say, well, I am there. He said, as how? Because whosoever abides in him sinneth not. Whosoever sinneth has not seen him, neither known him. They don't know him. This is the Bible. Yes.
Little children, let no man deceive you.
Let no man deceive you.
He that doeth righteousness is righteous.
That is the only way to know it.
Even as he is righteous.
Yes, sir.
He that committeth sin is of the devil.
Are you hearing that? He who is committing sin is of the devil.
For the devil sinneth from the beginning.
That's what we know the devil for. The devil has been sinning from the beginning. So anybody who is committing sin is in his class. He's in his domain. He has not seen the man of Calvary properly. Yes, sir.
For this purpose, the Son of God was manifested.
This is why Jesus was manifested, to destroy the works of the devil.
I might destroy the works.
This work must be destroyed this morning. We cannot allow the devil to be walking in and out among us and laughing at us. We cannot allow the devil to be looking at those of you that are our sisters and he say, this one, now me get out. I don't say she should not go for their conference, but now me get out. When they finish conference, they'll come back to me. He knows. But that power will be broken here this morning. In the name of Jesus Christ. He will not have that hold over any man's life again. Because God is going to help us. Brother, read on.
Whosoever is born of God, yes, does not commit sin.
Did you hear that now? That's how to receive Christ. As you have therefore received Christ Jesus the Lord, this will be the evidence of it. Whosoever is born of God does not commit sin. Yes?
For his seed remaineth in him.
Uh-huh.
And he cannot sin because he's born of God.
He's born of God. So verse 10, because we are concluding now.
In this, the children of God are manifest.
The children of God are manifest.
And the children of the devil.
This is the only way to know it all. You will notice that verse said, in this. Can you check your Bible very well? Is it T-H-E-S-E? Check it for me. If you say, in these, what would that mean? That means there are many ways by which we can know children of God from the children of the devil. Mm-mm. Only one way. In this. And the matter is not any other matter. It's the matter of who is committing sin and who is free from sin. Can you finish it, sir? In this.
The children of God are manifest.
Yes, sir.
The children of the devil. Uh-huh. Whosoever doeth not righteousness is not of God. Neither he that loveth not his brother.
So, we put a comma to our exposition for this morning at that point. Not only that time will not allow us to go on, but how can we go on if we cannot establish what is there before? How can we be putting a stand where there is no under? How can we be speaking very powerfully when there is no under to that standing? So, you will permit me this morning, under God, to ask you to pray with me. And wherever you are, whether you are up there or you are down here, or you are even somewhere outside, but you have heard the word of God speaking something clear to you this morning. It is time to pray. It is time to answer a very fundamental question as how. And what is the under to my standing? Falling and rising, falling and rising, is it not because there is no under to my standing? How can I go from here and the devil will still be boasting, I have this girl in my pocket. I have this man under my hand. No matter where he goes, I will call him back. That power must break here this morning. And this is the reason why Jesus was manifested. And this is the passion that God is expressing, that Christ must take residence in your heart for there to be hope for glory. And that when we have done well and we have matured, it will be Christ, no more, no less. So I'm going to ask you, and please, you know, this kind of time is not always there. It's not every time that God may sit you down and begin to show you something that is peculiar to your life. Some other times, you are the organizer of program. Even though you are shouting, something in you is holding you down, but there's nobody that can help you there. Today, all our fathers in God are here with me, led by our Baba Primate. And we shall be calling on God and say, Lord, what you plan to do, the way you plan to walk in my life, don't let me miss it. Please rise up wherever you are and let us begin to pray together. I will offer a word of prayer. Because God is sitting in our midst. The Holy Spirit is ready to walk. The power of the Almighty God is going to be released. And in this meeting, God is going to do for us what nobody can do for you. I want you to start to call on God for yourself this morning. I want to say, Lord, I must not leave this meeting with a question mark on my head. I must not go away from here with questions that they are saying, as how, as how, as how, as how, as how. Will you like to talk to God this morning and say, Lord, just as I am, without hiding anything, let my struggles end today. Let my lack of under my standing that makes me sink. I have found myself sinking many, many times. This morning, oh God, do something new with my life. Change my story and give me a fresh beginning. I need a fresh under. And I need the power to walk victoriously as you have promised. Holy Spirit, we have come. Yes, Lord, nothing but the blood of Jesus. Now, if you are standing and you are calling on God, and this morning the Holy Spirit begins to say to you, how did you receive Christ and you have been struggling? How have you received Christ and you have not been free? And you are still like a football. Anytime the devil like it will kick you, you are saying, Lord, it is enough. I know you have cried before. I know you said, Lord, I don't like this. But there is no power to be free. This morning, under the leadership of the Holy Ghost, and with the hand of God's servants that will be joining us, would you like to say, Lord, take my heart, take my life, please forgive me, please cleanse me, please change my story, give me a new heart, give me a new understanding, give me an honor to my stand, that from this morning I will never remain the same again. Holy Spirit, please come and do this work in our midst. Lord, stretch forth your hand and begin to draw men to yourself. We depend on you this hour. Break every yoke, every insinuation of Satan, every whispering spirit. And he said, don't go out. Don't yield today. Silence those voices, oh God. Let the Spirit of God take over. Let the blood you shed at Calvary begin to speak on our behalf. Let the power of the word of God break forth here this morning. Let the hearts of men be turned to you, oh God. Holy Spirit, please come. Because we are looking for a future. A future that has an honor to our standing. Lord, please come to us. Lord, please come to us. Holy Spirit, please come to us. In the name of Jesus. Thank you, Father. Now, if the Lord has been speaking to your heart, and you are saying, today is my day. Today, the 8th of April, 2026, God has come to break a yoke. He has come to set captives free. He has come to give you an honor to your standing. That in 30, 10, 15, 20 years, if the Lord tarries, you will still be standing, not just standing anyhow, standing strong, standing in grace, standing victoriously. Where are you? Can you lift that right hand and say, Lord, while you are touching others, while you are changing other friends of mine, please don't pass me by. Thank you, my brothers. Thank you, my sisters. Let the hand be above your head. It's to the Lord you are raising and say, Lord, it's me. I have come into this meeting. I don't want to go back a captive anymore. Our fathers in God are with me. We want to be able to lay our hands and stretch it. Thank you, my brothers. Thank you, my brothers. Thank you, dear sisters. Everywhere you have raised a hand. Now, this morning, one thing I want you to do for me, no matter where you are, take one step out. It's a step out of bondage. It's a step out of the hold. It's a step out. So please take that step. And if you can carry your Bible and your bag, please carry it. And take that step with your right hand lifted to heaven and begin to come down. Please come. God bless you, friends. Please come. Everywhere, please find a way to come down. The fathers in God, they are going. Thank you, my brothers. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. If you are coming, please come. Rika Shato Robus Kambaraba Shiria. Sembarabababa Shinta Robus Karaba Shiria. Maraba Shanto Robuskura. Maruko Shinta Korobuskura. Father, we thank you. Restore the man. Raise him in the name of Jesus. Kiri Mashanda. If you are coming, please move fast. God bless you. While on others you are calling, do not pass me by. Thank you, my brothers. Thank you, my dear sisters. Thank you. Thank you. Hallelujah. Just find a way to come. Just keep coming. God is here today. God has come to do a work in our midst. He has come to do what no man can do. Make sure you find a space. Make sure you find a space. My brother, keep running. Keep running. I said, Lord, I'm running till I'm running out. I'm running out of bondage. I'm running out of my confusion. I'm running out of that hole. My wonder must not be shaken again. Hallelujah. My wonder must not be shaken again. The power of your Holy Ghost must break this. This year must come here now. I'm running out of bondage. I'm running out of hope. Everything that holds me down from this day. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Keep coming, keep coming. Make sure you run down. Make sure you find your space. You find your space. Almighty God is here this morning. Here, Baba Sanda Yaba Baba Baba Sanda Yaba. As you are coming, make sure you are running. Make sure you are taking a step. A step to God. A step to God. Your voice.
I have heard.
God bless you. God bless you. God bless you. I've heard you speaking to me.
Thy love.
I have heard your love.
To me.
And it is the love of God, the passion of the Lord.
But thank I long you, my sister. To
thank you, that sister. Hallelujah.
In the arms
hallelujah.
Of faith.
That sister, if you are coming here, you need to run now. You need to run now. Thank you, my brother. Young man, you need to run now. You need to run now. Today is a proper day. Thank you, that sister. Roma Robo Shanda Yaba Baba Kalamasu. Nero Boshenda Yaba Baba Kalamasu. Maro Boshenda Yerebo Shanda. You can't just beg again. You need to run. Are you running? If you are coming here, let me see you run out. Before Baba we pray, let me be sure you are under the hand. You are under the hand. down, come down quickly. Oh, Robo Shenta Yaba. Maroko Shenta Yaba. Maroko Shenta Yaba. Maruka Baba Santa Yaba Kunto Robo Shida. Maroko Shenta Yaba Kaura Mashire. Thank you, my friend. Just run. Just run. Because God is having a passion for you. That's why this meeting has dragged to this point. If you are coming, you need to run now. God bless you, that sister. God bless you, my friend. God bless you, my friend. Just run down here. Just come down quickly. Quickly. Don't go back again. Just come down quickly. Say, Lord, this day, this afternoon, or this morning, this matter must be concluded. Somebody is even there for many years. You try to do everything. You try business. But because this matter will not let you go, things have scattered for you. Just come down and say, Lord, I surrender to you. God bless you. God bless you. Now, if you have already come, lift up your two hands. Lift up your two hands. If you're on the way coming, lift up your two hands and say, Lord, I'm the one. I'm the one, Lord. I'm the one, Lord. While you are touching others, while you are changing others, while you are helping others, I am the one, Lord. I am the one, oh God. Marika Shatoro Boskamba Ramashiria. Oh my God, I'm the one, Lord. Yes, as you are coming, your two hands now must be on your above your head and say, Lord, I'm the one. I'm the one, Lord. There's still one young man. Yes, thank you. Run, run, run. And let your two hands be lifted. That young sister, that sister in pink, just lift up your two hands and say, Lord, I am the one, Lord. I am the one, oh God. I'm the one you are waiting for this number of time. Yes, my friend. Yes, my friend. Oh, Makari Bashatayaba. Thank you, my friend. Before this door is closed for now, why don't you rush in? Thank you, my brother. Thank you, my brother. There's a sister that needs to come here. Make sure you are not left behind. God bless you. God bless you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. And if you have come, let your two hands be lifted above your head in the presence of God. And you are just simply saying, I have come to you, O God. You have the power to set me free. They say, as you have therefore received Jesus. And people have been asking over my life, as how? How is your own like this, that your life never changed? This afternoon, this morning, oh God, there is going to be a turnaround, an evacuation from the power of darkness. Are you coming here? Make sure you run, because we're already praying. If you are coming, run quickly. Run quickly. Run quickly. Because prayers of invocation will come on your life now. God is going to translate you from the kingdom of darkness, from the hold of Satan. And God is going to plant your feet on the rock. You will never sink again. If it is here, God has brought you. Hallelujah, Lord. Hallelujah, Lord. You see, I seem to be waiting for two other persons that the Holy Spirit is saying, I have ordained for them to be helped this morning. Sister, are you there? Quickly run and join the line there. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Just make sure you come in. Thank you, my friends. Ah, thank you, Lord Jesus. Today is an important day. Kaya Katoro Boskuria. Robo Shiria. Allow her, if she wants to lie down, please let her lie. The power of darkness is going to be broken in her life now. Every hold of Satan is breaking in the name of Jesus. Every spirit contrary to the purpose of God, today is your end. He said he has come to break, to destroy the works of Satan. Is the devil saying this one cannot go? You are going. The hand of God is setting you free this morning. You cannot live here in bondage anymore. The hand of God will keep you moving. The blood of Jesus will speak for you. The blood of the covenant. The blood of the covenant. We invoke on your life right now. In the name of Jesus. Say, whosoever comes to me, I will in no wise cast out. No matter what the devil did with you before, this afternoon, there's a turning point. You are turned around in the name of Jesus. The power that raised Jesus from the dead will raise you from here now. Will raise you out of that bondage. You'll be translated in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Father. If you are needing to join this meeting before Baba pronounce the final prayer, run right now. Run. You can't walk again. You cannot be walking here. You've got to run now if you are coming here. The Lord is waiting for you. You can't be keeping the master wait. God bless you. Now with your hand. Those two hands now, lay it on your head. Let your two hands now be laid on your head. Let those two hands be now on your head. Just place it on your head. Yes. Place it on your head. You are saying, oh God, I have come to you. I have come to you who is able to save, who is able to deliver. Look at my hand on my head. I will not escape from your hand again. My life is going to be completely turned over into your hand. Jesus, come into my heart. He said, the mystery is that Jesus in you. Now, Jesus, take your space in our heart. From this afternoon, chase out all strangers, all those that buy and sell, all those that have kept my life scattered and in bondage. Check them out now and take over. Jesus, take over. Take your place. I receive you today as my Lord, as my Savior, as the one that delivers from sin, from Satan, from the world system, from this money. Jesus, take your place. Take away from me the heart of stone. That heart that compromises, that heart that loves sin, cut it away. Give me a new heart. You say, a new heart will I give you, and a new spirit will I put within you. I'll take away from you the heart of stone. And this morning, let it be so. Every shackles on my life, every shackle on my leg, every shackle on my destiny, let it break now. From this hour, every hold of Satan, even if you went into a cult and they suck your blood this morning, that covenant is canceled. In the name of Jesus Christ. From this hour, he said, if the Son shall set you free, you shall be free indeed. You are free from this hour. Hell cannot hold you down again. Darkness cannot hold you down again. The love of God will fill your heart from now. You will hate sin with perfect hatred. From this hour. In the name of Jesus Christ. Now, while your hand is still on your head, our Father in God, the primate, he is the head of this entire church. God put us under his hand, is our shepherd. Whatever he says to God on your behalf, shall come to pass. Whatever he confirms on you from this day, heaven will honor it. So with one heart of faith and with your two hands on your head, Baba will now pray for you.